say a little bit about tanning of seal skins, whatever you think is important, and the tools and what you do to take care of a good seal skin.
Mm-hmm.
I need to start out with a smaller seal.
Yeah,
to tan it. Take care of it, to tan it. From the time it's killed.
You just only have a sour with seal or pitch for the horse and put it on that stick and stuff it with your knee like this and put your sour on top of the box or wood little fire. Then you hold a knife and then scrape it.
Is it a butcher knife you're talking about?
Butcher knife, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You scrape it easy. And when you're out of that on your way or something like, you get laid down on the floor and then scrape it with your own scraper. Just like, either way.
What's the purpose of you mentioned a box, a blazer box or something like that, do you? Or a smaller box than that even?
For
one end, up higher.
Up higher,
you use a stick instead of a shovel, pole, or...
No. It has to be straight.
Smooth.
Yeah, smooth.
Yeah. What's the purpose of using the butcher knife on the skin?
To clean the skin out, the inner skin out.
Oh.
On the seal.
Is the fat already all off of it?
Yes. Everything. And then...
Is it the fresh skin or was it dry?
Fresh skin or either.
Could be either.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh or dry.
When it's dry. And after you scraping it, and then soak it with soapy water.
What kind of soap you're supposed to use now?
Naphtha soap.
How many years have you used that?
Brown soap?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And your family, do you remember how long you...
Well, Mama used to have that kind of brown soap.
Even back when you were a kid?
Yeah. She always kept it in some place in the bag. You said it get a little small just for
chipping,
sand.
Yeah.
And sand. Not if she never used it for washing or mopping or things like that. She kept that only one little soap, kept it separated.
Mm-hmm.
That's when she's gonna stand. That's the only time she used.
So this would be for taking off the fat from the hide and skin?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then tweak it.
Quite a bit of twisting.
Yeah. Just like leave it around there, some places where it doesn't warm too much.
Mm-hmm.
And then leave it just like overnight and next day, tweak it, let it dry. And just when it's really dry, just stretching it with some flint.
With a flint end scraper.
Or really scrape.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they do.
Mm-hmm.
Even the water muffler take the hair off first before they scrape the inner skin.
Mm-hmm.
Take the hair off and then the next scrape the inner skin and then...
Oh, they take the hair off first.
What
do they use? What kind of tool and equipment do they use for taking the hair off?
Any kind of rock. Split it good into half. Try to find a rock.
Mm-hmm.
Or a shotgun shell.
Shotgun. In the brass?
Yeah.
In the brass shotgun.
Yeah, the brass. Or a can. Anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then sprinkle it with fire acid. For take the hair off.
Oh.
It's really more easy when you ask.
Which way would you scrape against the wood the hairs when you're scraping, taking hairs off?
Towards head.
Towards towards the head, yeah.
From the tail.
From the tail to the head, yeah. And do you have this one over, is it flat or is it on over something?
No, flat.
Flat.
Uh-huh. And when you're scraping it, the seal,
mm-hmm.
start it from the tail.
Right.
Not to open them, you know, on the seal.
Yeah.
Because when you open it, the head always...
In a seal, if I understand, there's more than one layer of skin, right? And there's a color, some of the little colors. Now, the top layer of skin, it has a different color, doesn't it, than below it? What do you call it, that dark top layer? Is there a word for that? That outer part?
In Eskimo?
Yes.
Mammograph. Uh-huh. And then that next to it, you know, sometimes it's thinner.
Yes.
Mammira.
Meaning less.
Less. Mm-hmm. Mammira. And that it's like it's even. Mammira.
Under this, then there's a thicker part, isn't there, of the skin?
Yes.
Does that have a separate word?
We call it amok.
And you also call the whole thing amok, even with a black layer on it.
Yeah.
But you say, I asked you, you were mentioning this in water boots, not to break through the, through the outer dark.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Oh, that you mean that black thing? To name it?
Yes, I was wondering, the layers of dark part of the skin. Mm-hmm. If that has a name.
Cigarette.
For that part.
Cigarette.
Uh-huh. Would be the proper word for that.
That black
outer part.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the lower part you still would call stomach.
Mm-hmm.
What's the purpose of being careful not to break through that outer part? You mentioned you shouldn't do it.
When you are scraping it, that it's always open.
Mm-hmm.
Open. Even you blow with twist. When you hit it, just like sucking it, always have the air.
Mean the inner part of it?
Yeah.
So the outer part would serve to keep air, water or air from going through it?
From a tail part, when you're scraping it straight, but just scrape it, you know?
Yes.
And when you start from the head, it's easy to open.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
Will I ask to peel off the black stuff if you scrape that way hard?
From the inner.
From, you'll separate those parts.
Mm-hmm.
But
when you are from the top, from the hair, next to the hair, that black thing, when you scrape it hard, press it hard to the board, it always have a white color open, take that thing out. So it's not like the skin for rub. They never use that china that have a scratchy thing.
Yeah, they'd rather have it not open at all.
Yeah, it's always, when the muffler gets kind of old, it is still open.
Leakier.
Even when you're sewing it up, when you're making the boot, sewing on it, you have to sew that when it's sewed up. When you sew it, when you see it, you have to sew it.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Whatever there's a break.
Yeah. Even if it's not open.
Oh. How do you sew it? I don't understand fully. What would you use? You cover it up with something? Put another patch over it or not?
Yeah, sometimes when it's kind of large.
You would put a patch?
And when it's small, just from the top
fold it together and sew it.
I see. Do you use soap or in, on the skin for water mufflers? You wash those with soap?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
So it doesn't, it doesn't matter if you take out some of the grease?
No. Brown soap.
But the important thing is that it not to break through that outer black, black part.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And how about, say, so you use a head big seal too, don't you?
Yeah.
Little group?
That's for body.
Yeah. Can you tell me anything about taking care of those?
Well, same way, just like that. But it's so thicker that it doesn't matter. You always use it in the own way.
You mean you can, you don't, it doesn't take so much care in the scraping of it?
No.
You can take care of
your,
you also scrape the inside of the Uber clothes?
No.
You don't?
No.
You don't have to?
No,
you don't have to.
Don't have to scrape.
No.
Just take the hair off on its hair on.
Yeah. And all these seals have been first, they've been stretched, haven't they? Somewhere, By how do you do this? Say it's summer, springtime.
Stretch it with a little stick.
You're sitting out on the ground or on the open country.
Yeah.
Mm. Do they ever use the stretchers, wood stretchers, you know, up off the ground?
When they have wood stretchers in handy, in their homes, they're using it.
Mm-hmm.
Even they dry it in the winter time. Not at NorTac, though, but on the coast.
How about most of the sealskins at NorTac? Are these gotten by NorTac people, or are they trading?
By NorTac people.
Yeah. Yeah. Including Uruk skin?
Including Uruk skin,
yes. Yeah. Could you tell me, while we're talking about Uruk skin, you mentioned... Yeah. You mentioned that you you started make printing at an early age and so on. And could you repeat what you told me about you crimp and sell boot soles, don't you?
Yes.
And could you tell me if they're in demand, if people want yours or anything about it, how you do it too?
Mm-hmm.
It must be that some women do it better than others. Is that true?
I guess so.
Can you tell me how you make a pair of boot soles? A heavy sole.
Yeah, ugruk soles.
Mm-hmm.
They make them hair on, they call that black bottom. Take the hair off.
Mm-hmm.
And white bottom, they take that black thing off. Around in the ground, let it take the, it's easy to take the
hair off. You flip it? How do you take the black off?
Well, it is more easy to let it take it off with, rub it with steel oil.
With oil?
Oil. On the hair part.
Is it, when you're doing
it? On the hair part and on the skin.
When you want to take the black off.
Uh-huh.
Is this done entirely by scraping or is it soaking?
No. Just kept it down while it's raw.
Oh, keep and let it.
Yeah,
would it be
soured?
Would it be soured at all? Or would the skin be soured at all? Or left in a warm place?
Left it in a warm place.
It would be, so it flips.
Yeah, it flips.
Mm-hmm.
And when it flips, you wash it off and stretch it out, let it dry.
Yeah.
Without any scraping, nothing.
Oh, I see.
And same way with when you tie it, you make a color, you know, from a spruce wood.
You dye some of yours?
Mm-hmm. They call it red.
Yeah.
Because of stuff.
This is from bark? Using bark?
Of bark.
Uh-huh. What's the name of the plant from which you get the bark? We have some word for that plant. Dallas, could you continue now? We'll go back to that later on the dyeing.
You have to, when you're making a bottom, you have to soak it careful. When it's too wet and when it's too dry, heart, you can keep it good. Just enough, you have to watch it. And you make anything.
Could you tell me how you measure the soul with your own system of measurement with your hand?
My hand?
Yes.
One time, put your hands on the board or something, from thumb to middle finger,
mm-hmm.
And half to my forefinger from myself.
You take one from your thumb to your middle finger, then you repeat it, add one to your thumb to your trigger finger or forefinger, right?
Yeah.
That's the length of the foot.
And then on the head part of your foot.
The front of the foot.
Yeah.
The widest part.
Mm-hmm. I used some thumb to my
the first joint?
First joint of my small
little finger.
Little finger.
It's across the top of your hand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And on the heel.
Under the water?
Yeah, oh.
when I soak it in the water, I have to put a little heavy thing on top and
the
make it soak. Yeah. When part of it were on top of the water, that means that the plate is more hard.
It won't be soft when you're on soap.
Yeah. It kind of, you know, kind of really hard to make a bun.
Mm-hmm.
It's so big. And I started making a bun when I was 11 years old. And
what kind of tools were you using in those days?
Yes, with Ulu.
With Ulu and what else?
And rock.
Rock.
Take the hair off.
Mm-hmm.
I never use really scrapers, just rocks when I make bottom. And even when I take the hair off from the face.
How did you do the crimping in those days when you were a girl? The crimping marks, you know. How did you make those?
I used my own teeth.
You did, huh? Even 11.
From 11.
Mm-hmm.
From 11 and then. Still making a body.
What do you use right now for the crimping?
Pliers. I have not one even knife.
But you do quite well using pliers.
Uh-huh.
Can you tell me about what you have to do to pliers to improve them and make them into a crimping tool? Do you use them just as you buy them from the store?
No.
You don't.
You have to make it more thinner from the top.
You bevel off, you make it, you file off, file
the head,
mm-hmm.
You know?
You mentioned the pillar that your son Terry had worked on.
Yeah.
These are beveled, they're angled off in the end, aren't they? And they're rather thin. The end of the pliers is very thin, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, because you file it off.
Mm-hmm.
How wide are they? Are they rather... Well, I asked you how wide your pliers were.
4.5 inches.
Half inch, yeah.
And got to have a spring right on the handle.
Yes. Did those pliers come with a spring on them when you bought them?
First time I had nothing. I tried to use the clothespin coil spring on it, but I didn't make it myself.
Well, these pliers, the ones you showed me, have a little hole for a spring.
Yeah, a hole right on the, just like
here. Right here, the end,
yeah.
The joint of the pliers.
Yeah. When you tight the handle, they open itself.
Mm-hmm.
Open itself. I got those from Bell. Yeah.
When you start your crimping, is there any part of the foot that you've been, or some part of the foot where the crimping begins? So you're looking at a foot, you know, mine is right here.
Oh, this is my measurement from the measure of my foot.
I see your own.
Mm-hmm. From the toe, from the middle, around to it, this is my measurement for the crimp.
From, perhaps we'll have to put that on paper. We'll probably have to put this on paper because of the difficulty of putting it on paper. The short.
And on the heel, my thumb and my whole second joint.
Yeah. Can you give me an idea of how long it takes you to crimp a pair of soles? You're using pliers now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Half a day.
Half a day.
When you learn it, half a day.
If you never make mistakes, do you?
No, I never.
If you make mistakes, can you do it over?
Do it over and over. So many times they can. People right now, they can't even make a pair a day. Just when they work on one bottom, they work it just the front part, day, next day, a day.
If you were telling somebody who had never crimped soles, how would you advise them to, the most important thing to remember?
You should advise them to soak it good, that's
kind of hard they can do. Mm-hmm. I do want to teach ladies all right, but they never...
You see a lot of souls nowadays, and they're made for sale. Some of these have, in the middle they have a big crimp, and they have irregular, the sole is irregular, it's not flat. Why is that? And sometimes the end of it is shaped too sharply back, it comes back, an angle to your toe hits the end, it's not shaped right. Can you tell me why the sole is not right, it's crimped, and it's not flat?
When you start it straight, right? The bottom of your knife, this is the bottom, right straight.
Mm-hmm.
It always goes through that way. That's it. But when you hold it like this, your bottom, from where you start, you have to just watch this one here.
The first is important.
And turn it, little toe to the middle of the...
You angle it back a little bit. Your first step is angle a little bit back toward the middle of the boot, toward the back of the foot.
Yeah. And when you scrimp it, make it more little, hold it more bigger and on little narrow on the edge, like this.
Mm-hmm. If the crimp is bigger down toward the bottom of the sole than it is up at the top.
Yeah.
Right. If you do the toe crimp first or second? The crimp,
first.
The first.
First.
Then you do the heel crimp.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you think of anything else that we should be put down on crimping? I know one thing I wanted to ask you. You said that you have made them and people buy them from you.
Yeah.
What is the most number of souls you made in a short length of time?
Christmas.
At Christmas time.
December. Yeah, Christmas time when they're making unimuckers.
Mm-hmm.
I made them one time 42 pairs inside 2 weeks. That's mean 21 a week.
Oh, and two, yeah.
Yeah.
And these are pairs, yeah, these are two of them for each.
Yeah.
These are 42 pairs.
Yeah.
So it'd be 84 separate souls, double it for all these. For 42 people.
42 people.
Right.
Yeah. 42 people.
People pay you a cash nowadays?
Yes. Long time ago when I made our first meeting, one of my years to sell for 50 cents.
Boy,
I shouldn't have done that before.
How many years ago?
If I would be.
What years were those?
I don't know. If I would go back to my early days, I would
know. You feel all good. How much are you getting for an adult pair now, if you sell them for cash?
$4. $4.
How about
at home?
Yeah, at home. This is at North Hat?
North Hat. Even at North
Hat. Oh, at North
Hat.
Yeah.
For a woman, $3.50, and for a child, $2.50.
How much does the skin cost you if you buy the little skin now, or do you trade them usually?
$18.
$18?
Yeah.
Just for a medium size?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to scrape it yourself?
Mm-hmm.
You do that work all yourself?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a half ugu. When you make a bottom for all the, I usually try to use the foment part, the tail part of a stick.
Is it heavier or?
It's heavier.
Mm-hmm.
And the head part for child. And the body part, some body part.
Mm-hmm. Could you guess how many pairs of soles you can get from a medium-sized Uruk skin? Say you're mixing children and men and women.
If I make
Adela, I asked you how many pair of men's boot soles you get out of one Uruk skin?
Maybe eight pairs.
seven pair. And you say you can cut also women's and children's on the same skin if you want to.
That's enough for all. Yeah.
But would you say would it waste more?
Waste more when you cut for ladies and child. You know.
Just leave more of the cut off. Yeah. You can't use around the corners.
Uh-huh.
Do you get cash for all of your? Or now you still get paid. If somebody's hard up to you, or if they don't.
But right now, it's pretty hard. It's pretty hard.
Yeah.
Pretty hard.
Have you adjusted your prices over the years? When the prices of things grew up, you changed the amount you charge for your soul?
Yeah. But, that store started getting high, and I get
Can you remember back what you charged over the years?
Well,
10 years ago, were you charging the same?
No.
You weren't?
Right? No. It was $1.75, $1.09, $75, $16, that's how. Right now, it's $3.02.
You've had a crisis, so you're trying to keep up with it and keep cost.
Yes.
Where have you been getting your group skin the last few years?
From healing Kishalik.
You ever get them from Point Hope or Kivalina?
I just got the first time I had half a group this time from Point Hope.
So you usually don't get it from there.
Uh-huh.
Is your own family hunting and getting your skin heavy the last few years?
Last thing, my son-in-law got three Ugoos.
And you got some,
October 28th, 1968. Adela, we had been discussing about childbirth, and you told me that you could give an example from the old days, the way women gave birth and the customs before the whites came into the country. Could you do that for me?
Well, a lot of times Mama used to say that old fathers always have a hard time. You know, sometimes when they're going to have a baby in the winter time, most of them, they were struggling, you know, when a woman got pain. She was pulling the flip baby, probably pulling a husband on the other side and her on this side. And she said having a pain, the day stopped and then some of the snow in winter time. So when the snow might be a little low. So there's no attract on this way, have no attract on something that's low, there's so few. And then put underneath with a good
care.
And then perhaps I have to wait to see the good news of the baby.
It was just one of those little huts, a little tent with a pole that bend over to make a frame. Or just an open, just open on the skin.
They were traveling,
or just on the skin.
The skin has no chance to,
to build anything.
Frame
and take down
back.
Just the open air.
Open air.
Yeah.
And then I asked mother one time how do they do the cord and how do they ever wash the baby? No, she said just wipe it off a little bit and then tie the cord with a twisty cleaner and then strangle it with just powdered with dried willow then she put the baby on her back and then started going walking. things to get to the hospital. Because the clerk said her grandma, told her to do this and that, so she didn't get to the test.
Mm-hmm.
And then she had to get this, like, six after she carried with the Christian club.
You mentioned that she put on a belly band or wrapping of this inner skin.
Yeah.
What is your proper word for that material?
Mommy.
Mommy.
Yeah. From the cardboard in the
same thing as you put down, you just
mentioned. Just like a piece of plastic. Yeah. When you wet it, all of it, it sticks to the pit. After she clean it, after she powder it with a
little
acid, she put that thing on and then bend it with a pit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She said she never used a
she did this on her grandmother's dress,
yeah.
Telling her what to do.
Yeah.
She was shooting from a distance.
She never got it.
And not in the tent.
Mm-hmm.
That was after a test in those days.
Yeah.
For someone to be alone.
Mm-hmm. And now we've got this thing. But she said that for something has a boy, they have to stay in that hut for 4 days.
Mm. About a girl.
And they have a girl 3 days.
3 days. Oh. Seems like a long
time. Long time, sure. Long time, right? But sometimes, how come they're never staying in the house? If they don't know how to do them up. Because they always do that thing from the beginning.
Is there a custom of
it? Mm-hmm. And sometimes a woman something happened to her. She said she remembered one time, but I forget the name.
Right.
She's gonna have a first baby. She don't know what to do. Even they tell her to do this and that, but she wanted to do it to her own way, but then she has a heart, trouble.
Mm.
And then, she died.
You were saying that it turned out that a woman died.
Yeah.
Were you through that portion, or do you want to do it?
Well, she died. The baby was born, but the next, what you call it?
Afterbirth?
Afterbirth. Didn't
hold a cane or held inside.
Yeah.
Well, yes, that would be crazy.
Yeah. Baby was born, but she lived a lot of blood. Nobody wouldn't go in there.
Yeah.
If a person go in there to help, he may die too.
Yeah.
And he may die.
Yeah.
But for the woman trying to help the baby alone.
Mm-hmm. Did they save the baby in that case?
No, they didn't.
Did you ask your mother about the younger children, if she had them the same way, or if there were any changes in her custom?
bell and I bell in the house.
Oh.
Because I asked Mama where I was born. She said in the house.
Oh.
But I don't know for sure my next older sister.
See, are you the, I forget, are you the youngest?
I'm the youngest.
Youngest, huh?
Mm-hmm. And my younger sister.
Yeah, oh, that's right.
From Lily, she's